You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend Thaddeus McCotter of American Greatness, and we're very pleased to welcome Malcolm Hoenlein to report on the region and then to step aside for Indiana Hoenlein, who has a report for us from south of Beersheba. However, we begin with Thaddeus and the most recent visit of a leader of a nation. Thaddeus?
Yes, Malcolm, what can you tell us about the Prime Minister of Israel's visit to the United States?
So it's good to be with both of you. The Prime Minister's visit clearly reflected in his face that despite all the burdens and the problems that he carries, he was smiling a great deal, much more than we've seen in a long time. He gave a speech in the Knesset, the parliament today, in which he praised the visit and said that of all the years, he's been the longest serving prime minister in Israel's history and had many, many visits. I think it was the 14th time he stayed at Blair House, that this was by far the best. And it was clearly reflected in the exchanges that they had and the statements that the president has made both before, but especially since, and reflected an understanding of what Israel is really up against. And I think his, you know, while the Gaza declaration took all the wind out of the sails, it in fact, there was much more of substance that was discussed. And the I think the underpinnings of the relationship were shorn up. And it's very important because in the Middle East, perception is as important as reality. And it's how people perceive the U.S.-Israel relation, our allies and non-friends in the region, determines often what they will do. And if they say, if Israel can't rely on the U.S., none of us can. And when they see that the United States stands with Israel and there's no daylight between them, it reinforces America's capacity throughout the region.
Malcolm, the hostages. The three hostages released most recently from photographs were clearly tormented, starved. What's happened? What can be done?
I think this is unfortunately going to be the beginning of what we're going to see, that those who were not appearing as gaunt, although all of them had medical problems. Some of them have shrapnel in their legs still for a year and a half from the October 7th attack by Hamas of the first groups. These guys came out. Some of them had to learn to walk again before they could be released because they'd been held hanging from chains by their legs and flat, not able to walk, kept in tunnels the entire 400 plus days in captivity. Tunnels where you couldn't stand up. As the president said, when they came out, they looked like the pictures of those who came out of the concentration camps during the Holocaust. They were gaunt. One had lost 65 to 75 pounds. Another one lost 40 to 50 pounds and was very thin to start. They were given food every few days. Their internal problems, heart conditions, other things, prevalent. And we know now from some that they had seen in passing or had been incarcerated with for at some point, were able to tell that one of the other hostages has suffered a serious eye wound and has been kept starving for long periods of time. And they did horrendous things like making people then vote over who would get the piece of bread. And often that was what a meal consisted of. And the Israeli delegation is in Doha to talk about the next round. But today Hamas announced that they are going to postpone it. They're saying that Israel didn't live up to the requirements when, in fact, they have not lived up to it. And the condition of the hostages, which should have aroused the UN and all of those who talk about human rights violations and war crimes. This is obviously a blatant and horrific war crime. And the display is of the propagandistic displays when they release the prisoners is inhumane as well. And we hope that some of them will find recovery quickly. One of them just found out on his release that his wife and two daughters had been killed, although they teased the prisoners saying that all their families were dead and telling them stories that were not true. Torturing them mentally, physically, in every way possible. So we hope that and the pressure will build to get the rest of the people out as quickly as possible. But I think the intricacies of negotiations, everything, are going to be get much tougher because of what has been disclosed. And what I fear is that those who are being held have not been released are in worse conditions. And as you know, many are not alive.
That is.
Malcolm, President Trump made remarks about Gaza. What was your analysis of it?
Well, I think that, you know, he's being criticized because he said the United States should take it over and essentially talked about it as a real estate deal, when in fact he has changed the whole discourse in the region because of this. And they forced a meeting of the Arab leaders on February 27th that Egypt is convening to talk about this, quote, crisis. But what it really is, the forcing them to face up to the reality that you're not going to just repeat the same mistakes that they made for 50 years, which led each time to the next war and escalation of terrorism. And to say that this is a place that could have been blooming. And when Israel left in 2005, they left them with beautiful beaches and resorts with greenhouses. And when 2007 Hamas took over, everything by then was destroyed and destroyed by them. In a poll that was taken before October 7th, 44% of the young people wanted to leave. So they should be allowed to leave. It's not forced relocation when people want to leave. One third of all the people want out. And now I think that number is going up. The young gave all sorts of reasons, economic, political, the corruption, the lack of security, and want to go to various countries in Europe, the United States, and elsewhere. We found out very disturbingly that money went from USAID to the Hamas through the aid programs, supposed aid programs, but hundreds of millions of dollars, including tens of millions in cash. There are places that are willing to take people from Gaza. The houses and stuff destroyed, it's very toxic, so rebuilding will take a long time, and they have to come up with a solution. So the president's solution is not, you know, the way that it's being proposed as so extreme, when in fact it may be the solution that will enable the rebuilding to go on and reconstruct it. I think 300,000 Palestinians moved to Egypt during the past year and a half. So there are examples, and there are other examples internationally where this has been done. When people move north now, as the roads opened up, they see that there's nothing to come back, and they are going back south, and I think would be open to options for their future life. So we saw already the provocative actions where Palestinians started approaching the border where Israel is, the buffer zone, though the agreement was they would be kept out. And they're trying to instigate clashes. So the situation is anything but stable right now.
Malcolm, you and I know Gaza. People who are passing judgment on the president's proposal have never been there. It's not a sustainable landscape. It can't support a population. That population, if it returns to the status that it had before, is entirely dependent upon being fed from the outside. Do those who rejected in the Arab world acknowledge that, Malcolm?
The basic thing is that most of the Arab world, they don't want to be bothered with this. They don't want the Palestinians. They cite, you know, what happened in the time of the Kuwaiti war when the Palestinians turned against their host countries, when they don't trust them. They recognize that there is potential there. There's even energy off the coast of Gaza, but nothing is done with all the resources. The billions and billions that were poured into there went for corruption, went to pay for the extreme lifestyle of the leadership, and the people exist in poverty. If all the countless millions of tons of cement that went into all of these huge tunnels, went into building hospitals, schools, other things, life would have been very different there. But I think now there's a recognition because of the Trump proposal that they have to begin to address this in a more serious way. But you're right. People don't know what Gaza's like. It could be very fertile land. It could be a place of resorts if they would, you know, stop the terrorism and turn to the development of the country.
Four countries, Malcolm, quickly. Lebanon first. Is there a development there?
We're seeing increased tensions in Lebanon. The visit of Ortega, the deputy American special envoy, putting the marker down that Hezbollah can't be part of the next government. We see that the Lebanese Forces Party, which is anti-Hezbollah, is in the government. But it's a very unstable situation. There's fear of a further spillover from Syria. There have been clashes along the Lebanese-Syrian border with forces of the Jalani taking them on because of smuggling of drugs and other and weapons, et cetera. The new prime minister was the president of the International Court of Justice, who has a very biased and unfortunate record. We'll see what he does as prime minister. But clearly a lot of turmoil and looking at the developments in Syria to try to find a way for themselves.
Jordan. The king's in Washington, Abdullah. Any change?
I think that he's coming here to talk about his domestic situation, but also the proposal with Gaza. The big pressure will be on him to send Tamimi, who was a terrorist, who was responsible for the death of a number of Americans, including Malki Roth, in the Sabaro bombings. And Jordan has not extradited her until now, did say last week that they were prepared to do so. I think that this will be a key issue in the discussions coming up. But, of course, also the future of Gaza.
Iran, they lost the war. Any change?
Yes. In our favorite game, John, of the currency, topping 900,000
okay.
All the way to 1 million.
Okay, yes.
1 million. So this is the growth industry that is amazing. They are continuing to reveal new weapons. There's greater tension between Azerbaijan and Iran now with them summoning the Azeris, summoning the Iranian ambassador. But usually when they start showing off their weapons, it's a sign that they feel the weakness. And internally, the divisions are growing all the time. So there are opportunities, I think, for if the West organizes to help bring about change internally.
Egypt, Morsi, refusing to take the Gazans into the Sinai, though that is the logical direction. What about him, Malcolm? Does anybody trust him?
Sisi. Morsi, nobody trusts.
Yes, sorry.
Because he was Muslim Brotherhood. but there's a very dangerous development, and that is that thousands of tanks have been moved into the Sinai in violation of the Israeli-Egyptian peace accord. There have been several incidents of drones being flown from Egypt carrying weapons, rifles, and other equipment into Israel. Israel's, thank God, caught them, at least the ones they know of were caught. But the tanks moving up near to the Israeli border is a major provocation and a source of real tension, and I think will be the subject of discussions between the administration and Egypt in the coming days.
Thaddeus, you have a question.
Yes, Malcolm, once again, the UN is reveling in its ignorance. What can you tell us?
This really tops it, Thaddeus. For all the things that we have seen, the special rapporteur Farida Shaheed, who is the special rapporteur on the right to education, claims that she does not know that anti-Semitism in campuses is actually on the rise. This after some students had raised it. She met with students from across the globe as part of the consultations as they prepare their report to the Human Rights Council in June 25, in the Human Rights Council that U.S. just pulled out of. And here is further evidence of why it was necessary, because that report deals with safety as an element of the right of education. We all know what has been happening on campuses around the world and how students, Jewish students in particular, put in danger. And she says, well, she chooses the topics on her own, but she said that she wouldn't reach out to individuals to hear it. They have to come to her. And the information has to be delivered to her. So she said that she can't address the issue of anti-Semitism as she's here for the whole world and won't be reporting on one issue. Of course not, but she's reporting on safety and education. And she said that even if she would be approached with the information and a report would be written, it would deal with general discrimination, not the anti-Semitism.
You have an example.
And we saw just this week and yesterday in McGill University where the students rioted, broke windows in five university buildings and threatened students and to disrupt both exams and classes as they try to force them, the university, to adopt a BDS policy. They use stones and bricks and hammers to destroy property on the campus, and it's happening elsewhere, but Shahid can't find it.
And Malcolm, quickly, it's not just Canada, it's the U.S. too. Cooper Union, the report there is unacceptable. Has anybody pushed back at Cooper Union?
Oh, yes, and there are lawsuits abounding, and we are going to be going after. And New York State today adopted proposed new legislation, and the federal department, to the Department of Education, as long as it remains, is actively pursuing these issues. There's a new joint task force between the Department of Justice, Department of Education, and Human Health Services that the president appointed, and that is really shaking things up because they are already coming out with recommendations, and the members of Congress are moving on renewing the legislative initiatives that were stalled by the Democrats at the end of the last administration. Hopefully we will see this, and it will give greater power to law enforcement and to states to enforce the laws against this kind of outrageous behavior.
Malcolm Holdline, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organization Studies, McCarter American Greatness, Indiana is on its way. I'm John Batchelor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.